Mr. Rogers once said, "Honesty is often very hard. The truth is often painful, but the freedom it can bring is worth the trying." We tend to think of honesty as a lesson that you teach kids in a picture book, but not something that grown men need to wrestle with. And yet the consequences of dishonest men plague our culture. In fact, in some arenas, we actually celebrate when men get away with something dishonest. I started to recognize it in myself that, you know, this is a really lame excuse. I'm making an excuse because I didn't do the work.
Yeah.
And it's easier for me to say, to come up with an excuse like, you know, and it was nice when we had young kids. I mean, you know, the kids were up all night, which was true basically every night of fatherhood.
Yeah.
But it made it easy out. Kids were up all night, and, you know, and they were, you know, just, you know, a lot to handle last night, and I just didn't have time, you know, so, you know, I'll get to it next week, but it's just an excuse because if I'm ever going to get that thing done, whatever it is, then I'm going to have to do the work for it, right?
I was 16, just got my license, and hadn't had my license too long, and my dad had this old Chevy pickup, you know, canopy on it, so you couldn't see, just mirrors on it, and I backed out, and across the street was an older truck, and I backed into that truck, right? And so I pulled forward back into the driveway and went in, told my dad, "Oh my gosh, I hit this guy's truck," and I felt sick, you know, that whole scary feeling of hitting something, right? And whatever, you know, and my dad said, "Just, I'll handle it," right? So the neighbor came over, said, "Hey, do you know what happened? My truck got hit. Do you know?" He didn't see it, right? And my dad lied. He goes, "No, I don't know what happened," right? And I knew the truth,
right?
But I just let the lie go on, right? And I literally, you know, those people lived across the street from me for years, right? And every time I'd go to my parents' house, I'd see them or see whatever, and it just stinted my relationship with them.
You're listening to the Man They Remember podcast, where we are encouraging men to be the kind of man they'll remember when we're gone. Find us online at mantheyremember.com or facebook.com/mantheyremember and join the Facebook group on that page. Thank you for sharing, liking, subscribing, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Now, time for the show. Hello, hello,
hello.
I'm resting because I've been listening back. I listen to them because I edit them, so I've been listening back to the podcast. I'm like, I sound kind of dull. Like, you know, you listen to your own voice, you think, you need to work on your inflection a little bit. I mean, you guys sound real exciting, and you're just kind of monotone.
I don't know. I hate listening to my own voice. I think you do this really well. You're really good at podcasts. I've always listened to your...
Having my voice in headphones right now is painful. Yeah.
Just to get to know a little bit, he was PD. Is that what you were this?
PD, yeah.
PD. He wrote a play this last winter for
audio drama.
That was awesome. And then all the voice inflections on that. And you did the year before, you did a whole thing on the Christmas story, on kind of the story of the guy at small town. A couple years ago.
That was a book. Christmas,
you wrote a
setup.
Book, but you also Christmas set, but then you also dramatized it. So you've done a lot of this stuff. Yeah,
well, I've spent really good. As a pastor, you spend a lot of time. You brought the secret out, you know, so everyone knows I'm a pastor.
Oh, yeah. Blew that one.
Last,
I didn't think
last
I would
week.
Be invited, but then everybody got sick this week, so you had to bring me back in.
So last week we had a full table, and we talked about it, and I think we're probably not going to have a full table again because it's hard for everyone to get a word in. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure guys are getting an opportunity to talk, and it sounded a little bit chaotic from time to time listening back to it, but we're brand new, so we're just trying to figure this out. So, Man They Remember podcast, we're trying to learn how to be the kind of men they'll remember when we're gone. We want to be leaving a legacy as men, and we, the right kind of legacy, not the kind of legacy that is like, yeah, my dad. we're getting off the ground here, so we appreciate anything you're willing to do to spread the word, talk to your guys about it, share it. and just let them know, hey, there's this podcast with these guys that aren't that cool. I should speak for myself. With this host that isn't all that cool, but been some great conversations. And we're talking about virtues, and we're going to talk about more than virtues as we go on, but we're just kind of laying the groundwork, especially with the seven virtues that are kind of core for us as we go through this podcast. And we'll break up and, you know, just kind of bounce around and talk about other things, and trying to work on some interviews and getting some interviews lined up and stuff like that. So some good stuff coming. But I am David. I'm the host. I realize I don't really introduce myself all that often.
Or PD.
Yeah, PD if you want. I appreciate being here, and always a great group of guys and great conversation. So to my right, your left, if you're watching the video, is Russ, the one and only Manning. Should call you the Legacy. Russ, the Legacy Manning.
The Legacy Manning. Ooh,
Legacy.
Yeah.
Legacy. That kind of makes sense. That usually means you're dead when you've left the legacy.
The living legacy.
Oh, the living legacy. Yeah, let's set that up, because if you leave the legacy, you've kind of like you passed on and you've passed that to your kids. Right? So, which my son keeps looking for, you know, when's that going to happen, Dad?
No.
I want the house. And then to my left, your right, is Rylan Rye Guy Manning.
Rye Guy Manning.
That's what his nieces and nephews call him.
Rye Guy? No, they call me Rye Rye.
Oh, Rye Rye.
Rye Rye.
Yeah.
Oh. Rye Rye. Would you prefer Rye Rye or Rye Guy?
Whatever.
Or just Rylan?
No matter.
Doesn't
to me.
Matter.
Nope. Rye. Never had any problem with nicknames. I've had a lot of weird nicknames, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had some nicknames. We'll just leave that out.
Yeah.
For now.
Yep.
Yeah. Me too.
I don't like some of the nicknames that I've had. One of the first ones that comes to mind was music team. I was on a traveling music team in college, and they decided to call me special.
Special.
Yeah, and they meant it, you know, in a derogatory way.
Yeah, in the most demeaning way they could have.
Special. It just drove me nuts. It's like, then you start thinking, like, what is it about me that makes them think I'm special?
Yeah, then you got to come across like sounding super smart.
Yeah. So, nicknames. Our nicknames need to be good, uplifting, encouraging, you know, like build you up nicknames, not tear you down. Like they do in the military, but that's a different topic. All right. So we are on Facebook, facebook.com/manthayremember, manthayremember.com/podcast to find all the places you can subscribe. And we're everywhere now. You can't get away from us. We're everywhere. Everywhere
can't
podcasts
escape.
Are distributed.
Everywhere. Everywhere and nowhere.
Everywhere. Reminds me of Toy Story. When Woody is terrifying Sid at the very, very end of it. Says, "We toys can see everything."
Oh, yeah.
And his head spins around.
Yeah. I haven't seen Toy Story in a long time.
Great. I love Pixar movies.
I do, too.
Yeah, they are good.
The story in a Pixar movie is just so good.
It's good. They do a good job.
I don't know. Maybe there's probably one or two that I haven't really cared for, but I mean, Cars.
Yeah, that
I like
good.
Cars.
Yeah,
yep.
I love Cars.
A lot of good morals to the story.
Yeah, what's the Inside Out? Inside Out.
Movie. I haven't. Oh, I have seen Inside Out. I think I watched it actually here for a movie night.
Okay, but, yeah.
So I don't know much of it I actually watched or.
Yeah, right. You saw parts of it as you were trying to keep kids from bouncing off
pretty
the
much.
Walls and things like that. Yeah. Soul, I haven't seen yet. That's the newer one.
I haven't seen Soul.
I haven't seen that.
But even. What was the one? And this is just because of my upbringing, but the one about the Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos.
Oh, what's that called?
It's got the kid that plays the guitar.
I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
I'm not going to remember it.
That's going to drive me crazy now.
But anyway, that's a great movie. Great story. Really, you know, kind of really. But I just thought, because I, you know, we grew up. Halloween was bad, you know, you don't do anything with Halloween, and so like a whole movie kind of celebrating Halloween.
The Day of the Dead.
Like, it's like, I don't think I can like this, but I really liked it. It was good.
It looked like it was well made, so just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I don't have as many reasons to watch Pixar movies as when I was little. But
right. I do. I've got plenty of reasons. Sorry. Get level set
I
here.
Do still enjoy them, though, so when I get a chance to watch with my nieces and nephews when they're not watching Frozen 2.
Yeah. Like one movie.
Isn't that funny? Movie. I did that as a kid. My kids do that. Like they get one movie and they're just all
fixated.
Yeah.
Yeah. One book.
Yep. But I don't know. There's still some of those movies that I watched over and over as a kid I still love. Like Hoosiers and It's a Wonderful Life.
I don't know if I ever did that.
Wonderful Life.
I don't know if I ever got fixated on one. Maybe when I was like really little, but I liked a lot of Pixar movies and just a lot of like all the Lion Kings. Yeah. And
I think it's a personality thing though, because my wife, Becky, she doesn't, like, if you watch a movie once, she's probably good pretty much for the rest of her life. She has very few movies she'll willingly repeat.
Oh, that's interesting.
I do like watching movies again. Yeah. Same with TV shows. Like, if I haven't seen it in a while, I'm like, okay, that was a pretty good one. No.
I think it's because she has such a good memory.
Yeah.
She remembers everything. You know, she's just got, like, I mean, once she watches something,
she can't stand it. She knows the scene coming
up. Right, yeah. Knows exactly.
I enjoy that, though. I'm like, oh, I forgot this part was coming up.
Most of the time, Or it's a good feel, like, you know, Patriot or Braveheart or something where you're
Some of those. Me and Kelly were eating dinner last night, and he was like just searching through some channels, and we're trying to figure out something to watch, something quick that we could eat and watch. But he pulled up, I don't know if you guys ever seen it, Arrested Development.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we've tried to watch it a couple times, but I think we probably have to get like a season in or something before you're really hooked to it, and we just haven't gotten that far.
But it's a pretty funny show. I mean, there's always some inappropriate parts in it, but pretty funny show. And we were watching, it was like, I was like, oh. Like the next scene, I was like, the next scene is so funny. I remember. But
hey, Russ, could you turn off the air conditioner? I just realized you got that noise in the background.
It's the bottom button in the middle.
Thank you. But yeah, it's interesting, you know, seeing what movie people really just grab onto, mm-hmm. glom onto, and watch over and over. There's probably, you know, they used to do those quizzes all the time, but I bet there's a good personality test you could make based on the movies you watch over and over. I don't know what to say about me, because the movies I watch over and over now are the Armageddon, End of the World kind of movies. Yeah. I've got this
Gladiator.
Yeah. Like San Andreas.
We'll have to look that up. Yeah. See if there is a movie personality trait. Yeah. Maybe we can bring that for next week.
What movie personality are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. But San Andreas right now, it's kind of been on repeat on some channels. Like, I just like, every time it's on, I tune into it.
With The Rock?
The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah. Do you like The Rock?
He doesn't go by The Rock anymore. I do.
Yeah. I like him as an actor.
Runaway is one of my favorite. I love that one.
That was actually when he wasn't that great of an actor. I mean, he was an okay actor then, but he's definitely upped his ability to act over the last several years.
What's Runaway? I haven't seen Runaway.
Runaway. It's a pretty old movie, but it's a good one.
But I love him in movies. I think he does a really good job. Especially, you just don't expect it out of a guy that's like that built and big and just huge. Like, you don't expect him to have any soft side at all.
I know, but he is actually a really good, really good actor.
He does really well in like action comedies too.
Yeah,
especially when it's him and Kevin Hart. Yeah, they make pretty funny movies.
They are funny together. I like Kevin too.
I just wish Kevin Hart was a little cleaner. I think he is absolutely hilarious. But some of the jokes, I'm like, I can't believe you just said that.
That's true. Yes, on both levels, he's hilarious, and I shouldn't laugh at some of the things that he jokes about, but. All right. Well, we're going to jump into our topic for today. And to set it up, we're going to do something that we just came up with right before we hit record, and that is two truths and a lie.
Yeah, so you asked like 15 minutes ago. Yeah, I can't even remember the truth. Yes, I don't even know if it's a truth or a lie anymore.
I forgot mine too. All right. So let's see here. I have to remember. Rylan remembers his. So
Rylan's ready.
He's going to go first and then give us older guys a chance to remind ourselves.
I should know because he is my youngest son.
But we'll see. So I went with locations I've been just to kind of see if he remembers. Because other ones of my siblings have been to all these. But okay, so I'm going to go with three places I've been. The first place is Canada.
Okay.
Second place is South Korea.
Okay.
And the third place is Hawaii.
Canada, South Korea, and Hawaii.
Wow.
So you've been to two of those places and not one. Canada, South Korea. I'm going to go with Canada.
Okay.
That's the lie.
I'm trying to think.
No. Now I know it's wrong. But I can't take my answer back, can I?
You went to China, and so you probably landed in South Korea to go to China.
Okay.
So I'm going to say you've been to South Korea. I can't remember when you would have gone to Hawaii. You went to Hawaii. Your brother went to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I've been to Hawaii, but I don't remember you going to Hawaii. Canada. We've taken several trips to Canada as a family. So
never been to Canada with you. Just saying. Oh, okay. That still might be my lie or my truth, but I've never been with you.
Okay, I'm gonna say Hawaii.
Okay, And you said you already know.
Yeah, well, it is. I know it's not Canada, so I knew I was wrong.
Yeah, it's Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii. Okay.
Yeah, but Micah went to Hawaii.
Had a layover in South Korea. Yeah, and then me and Ryan went to Victoria to visit Kenan for a week.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. We had taken some family trips up there.
I've never been to like Vancouver or Whistler.
I forgot about Kenan's,
Kenan's
trip. That wasn't the one I was thinking of. I was thinking of times we'd traveled through and gone across.
Yep, never. Maybe I've traveled. I don't know. Maybe when I was a little kid.
Probably when you were younger.
But nothing I can remember. Yeah. Do you remember yours down, David?
I remember two of them. Do you remember yours?
I think so.
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay, so been married for 37 years, so that's not one of the lies, because he would obviously know that. But previously to getting married, I was almost married. That's one.
Okay.
The second one is I've been a scuba diver and dove all over the world. And the third one was, I don't remember. I try to remember.
That's kind of a broad category. You might have to narrow it down.
Yeah. I tried to guess which one that one was. What was the third one now? It was, goodness. Dang it. Radio silence. You hate that.
Ooh, I need to get some Jeopardy music or something.
Yeah.
Here we go. I've got this.
Yeah, there's...
oh, it's not turned on.
Okay, so almost married, scuba diving, and... Oh, I've traveled all over Europe, or in a few countries.
So you've scuba dived a whole bunch of places, you've traveled all over Europe, and you almost were married before you got married.
Yeah.
I'll let David go first, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer.
I'll go with traveled all over Europe.
Okay.
I'm going to go with almost married. Because mom was almost married, but I know you scuba dive, and I know you went to Europe for SEH.
Yeah.
So,
that's right. Now I remember that. Yeah, I remember you telling me that. All right. So I'm going to have to come up with one on the spot. All right. So, all right. Here, I love working on cars. I was an Eagle Scout. I'm kind of and I can now the world's loudest clock is reminding me there's a lot of silence here. You need to hurry this up. I can recite the 50 states in 30 seconds.
Wow. Well, I've seen your cars. And I'm going to go there with not the cars.
I'm also going to go with cars because I just saw your Facebook post about your lawnmower. Yeah. So,
generally, I would think if someone likes to work on cars, their cars look a little better.
Well, there have been these people that go to this church.
Right. And you don't have a truck that has a plastic jug for a gas can.
I do have a truck that has... I should tell that story. Yeah, I bought a truck off of Craigslist, and I took my dad. My dad was here in town with me, and we went up there to look at it because he had a similar truck growing up. And I thought, well, Dad knows something about this truck. He can kind of help me make a good decision. It was $1,200 listed on Craigslist. I knew it was old. I knew it was beat up. And so I thought, I'm not expecting a whole lot. Get up there, started up, starts up great, drive it around, drives just fine, those kinds of things. And so I decided, I'll give this guy, I talk him down to 900, I think. I can't remember how far I talked him down at first, but we get in, and we drive down the road. I notice the gas gauge is on empty. So I'm like, I better stop and get some gas because this is up at Kelso. So, I got an hour drive home and get some gas, put about $20 of gas in the tank, and then not more than 2 minutes down the freeway, the thing dies on the side of the freeway. What in the world? And so, my dad comes, tries to help me out, and figure out what's going on. I said, I don't know, it just died on me. And so we call the guy back, and I said, hey, I'm sitting on the side of the freeway. The truck won't start up. We need to figure this out because I'm not taking this thing home if it's not going to run. And so he comes about a half an hour later after, sitting on the side of the freeway, And he had talked, he was selling the thing for his nephew. So he talked to his brother, I'm guessing, who was the nephew's dad. And he said, well, you're not going to believe this, but that blue barrel in the back of the truck, yeah, that's your gas tank.
And so, I remember seeing that when I drove up to your place. I was amazed.
Yeah. So he gets up in the truck and puts, you know, 5 gallons of gas into the blue barrel that is my gas tank in the back of the truck. And, you know, after cranking on a little bit, starts right up, no problem. And so we're standing there on the side of the freeway, and I'm saying, well, so we're going to have to change this a little bit because I'm not taking this like it is with a blue barrel as the gas as the gas tank. So I need you to knock another couple $100 off the price. And he said, well, I can't do that. I already knocked a couple $100 off. I said, well, so here's the deal. And he was trying to say, well, I already gave you $50 worth of gas, you know, so I'm already out. I'm already losing more money. And I said, well, here's the deal. I know the law in this state. I've got 30 days to return this. So you either give me $200 back and I buy this thing for $700, or we're going to drive it back to your house. And so he pulled out the, you know, the cash, gave me $200. So, and it's still sitting at my house and not running. So. We got some mice in it, and I had a wiring fire. So all my wiring melted. Now I got to rewire the wiring harness.
That's a bummer.
So, yeah. So actually, I did two lies and a truth.
Oh, okay.
So I don't like working on cars. I was not an Eagle Scout, but I can recite the 50 states in 30 seconds.
Wow. You probably could do that. I didn't remember if you were an Eagle Scout. You got up there a ways, didn't you?
No.
You never did Scouts?
I tried. I wanted to do Cub Scouts, but my dad wouldn't put me in it.
Yeah.
He got me a Weeblos book.
I almost made Eagle Scout. I was like that close. Just didn't finish the community service piece of it.
If you had said you had made Eagle Scout, I would have guessed that would have been a truth. Because I knew you were in the Boy Scouts, but I didn't know if you had made Eagle Scout.
I didn't
even
think about that one.
Yeah.
So are you a knot expert then? Can you teach us all how to tie knots?
Yeah, he is good at tying knots.
Okay.
He hasn't taught me any of them, but he does.
Well, you're going to have to teach us, do some knot tutorials.
It's been a while, you know. It's like when I was, you know, early teen, so I'm now in my almost 60, so.
But there have been, you know, out on the farm, like, I know there's a knot for this.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to tie.
There's some really cool ones.
Yeah.
I know. Like, when I tie things, it's always just the normal
shoe
knot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'm looking at something my dad tied, like when we used to tie to the boat. I'm like, how do I undo this?
Usually it's just a simple,
I know. I got it now. Yeah. But.
All right. So, so two truths and a lie. So we're talking about honesty today and being honest and the importance of being honest as a man. And this, it seems like it might be an obvious one. Like, why would you even need to talk about it? But it's actually, once we get into it a little bit, I think you'll see it's a pretty deep virtue. And honesty is something that if you don't have it kind of at the bedrock foundational level of your life, it'll you seep into everything else, and you'll start finding yourself being dishonest in basically every other area. Mm. So, I think it's important for us to talk about.
Yeah, it's good
to
topic.
Set it up. I want to talk about the story with Ted Williams. So when Ted Williams was 40 years old and closing out his career with the Boston Red Sox, he was suffering from a pinched nerve in his neck. The thing was so bad, he later explained, that I could hardly turn my head to look at the pitcher. For the first time in his career, he batted under 300, hitting just 254 with 10 home runs. He was the highest salaried player in sports that year, making $125,000. The next year, the Red Sox sent him the same contract. When I got it, I sent it back with a note. I told them I wouldn't sign it until they gave me the full pay cut allowed. I think it was 25%. My feeling was that I was always treated fairly by the Red Sox when it came to contracts. I never had any problems with them about money. Now, when they were offering me a contract I didn't deserve, and I only wanted what I deserved. Williams cut his own salary by $31,250.
Wow. Yeah, you just don't hear that in sports, do you?
Yeah. It's like, who would turn down money? It's like, well, I don't deserve this. I'm sitting on the bench, but I guess I'll take it.
Yeah.
And that's an honest move, right? I mean, that's something that you do when you're honest, when you have integrity. So what are you guys' initial thoughts on integrity and honesty?
I know that the job that Rylan and I are both, I'm privileged to work with my son in a maintenance position at a high-tech manufacturing company that we work closely at. You know, and it's easy to, you make a mistake on a tool or something happens, you know, and you can be less than honest. Mm-hmm. You don't have to lie, but you can be less than honest about how the mistake was happened made. Because you know that, you know, because you're, you know, you're a human being and you sometimes make mistakes, and sometimes literally a mistake, I can easily make a $1 million mistake. Mm. I can do something, hold a tool down for a week, and
because
I don't
have stressful.
A part. Yeah, it is. And so
it can
so,
be.
Yeah, it can be. So, you know, I mean, you make that mistake, and then if it's a big deal, you know, you might be holding a lot of money back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the company can't make output or something, you know, and so you get a lot of heat, right? And
not only did you break the expensive machinery, but now they can't put the can't create the product.
Right, yeah. Right. And so, you know, there, you know, you can tell less than the truth without telling a lie. Right. Well, yeah, I don't know how that happened, mm-hmm. you know, or you can just, you know, fess up to, you know, yeah, I did this. Because most of the time when you admit that you made that mistake, then it's easier to go back and
solve it,
mm-hmm. right? Because now, okay, we know what happened, right?
Versus,
and we get a lot of operators that do the same thing. You know, they'll say, I don't know how that happened. When, you know, they probably made a mistake and they just don't want to get in trouble, mm-hmm. and they don't want to, you know, potentially get fired, you know, if it's a big enough mistake. And so I can see honesty is a big deal where you just really sometimes knowing that you are, you know, could, and it may never, you know, it may, you know, that mistake may travel with you for quite a while, even, you know, being career ending, you know, but, you know, it's a huge deal, you know, of, okay, am I willing to step up and say something, right?
So, right. Yeah.
And a lot of times the operators that make the mistake that, like, if they're honest about it, it helps, makes our job a lot easier.
Yeah.
We know exactly what the problem was instead of like trying to diagnose, like, oh, it might be this part or this part. We're like, oh, it's just the power was actually turned off through the power cycle it. And we actually have a video of this guy in one of the clean rooms. He's wearing like this, he was in a clean room suit and he was wearing like a blue boot and a normal, like a white boot.
So we called him Blue Boot.
Yeah, Captain Blue Boot. And you can see him like air drumming around the tool, and he's like, he's air drumming, and then he hits the emergency stop accidentally, and his face is like, and he just runs off. And
yeah, he's on a video.
Doesn't tell the operator that's running the tool. She like turns to put the next cassette of wafers in. She's like, why didn't
it take it?
And he comes back with another operator. And he's like, this tool just turned off. I don't know how it turned off. And he was notorious for doing this a couple times. And they finally let him go. They're like, if you just said that you hit the e-stop, not that big of a deal. You just unhit the e-stop and turn the tool back on and press start and let it go. But...
yeah, he's literally, here's the button, and he's drumming around the button. And he does a cymbal hit on the button and shuts it all off.
What?
That's a video they show all the operators now. Yeah. Let them know that, hey, you are on video.
Yeah. So that guy's a legacy.
He's a legacy. So,
Captain Blue Boot.
Captain Blue Boot, the legacy.
Fortunately, no one knows who he looks like.
Yeah.
Because he has a
full face mask on.
Legacy of Captain Blue Boot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little bit, because excuses is a big part of honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, we live in an excuse world. I mean, we make excuses for everything. We don't take responsibility for anything,
mm-hmm.
which kind of overlaps with what you were saying. It kind of overlaps with honorable and being an honorable mm-hmm. man. But but one of the things that I recognize, I started to recognize it in myself, that, you know, this is a really lame excuse. I'm making an excuse because I didn't do the work.
Yeah.
And it's easier for me to say, to come up with an excuse like, you know, and it was nice when we had young kids. I mean, you know, the kids were up all night, which was true basically every night of fatherhood.
Yeah.
You
know,
the kids, but it made an easy, easy out.
Kids were up all night, and, you know, and they were, you know, just, you know, a lot to handle last night, and I just didn't have time, you know, so, you know, I'll get to it next week. And, you know, and, but it's just an excuse because I've, you know, if I'm ever going to get that thing done, whatever it is, then I'm going to have to do the work for it. Right. And I recognized that in myself. And so I was like, well, okay. I need to start being honest and just saying, no, I'm sorry, I didn't do it. I do have reasons, but I didn't do it. I need to own that I didn't do it. But you know, once I started doing that, then I started recognizing in all my other conversations with other people when they were making those excuses to me, like, I think you're just using this as an excuse.
You could have done that.
I think you could have gotten this done. You just are making an excuse about it.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I always went back to work though. Like, I do find myself not making excuses, but I make jokes to kind of light the situation of what I did. Where I'm like, we're like, how'd this happen? I'm like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. Like, no, but really, how'd this happen? I'm like, I might have messed up.
I gotta tell a funny one on my wife. You know, because you know, with when it comes to honesty, you know, we all know as you know, people that gas is a problem, you know, and you want to be less than honest, like where did that smell come from, right? You just never know. And we were actually had left when we were going to church here, we had left that church and we were gonna be going to a different one and we'd met Yannickon, and so the pastor was over, and I think it was my wife and myself, and we were meeting with the pastor. He'd come over to the house and we're all chatting or whatever in our kitchen. We had an island in the kitchen, and I believe Becky was pregnant at the time, right? And she leaned back and she really loud, you know, and there was no dog there to blame, and the pastor goes, man, I wish I could do that, you know. She was just rolling. She had no place to go. I can't even blame the dog here. Yeah, because I, you know, I mean, that's just an acceptable honesty one, right?
Because no,
where's the dog, or where's the baby,
Wilson?
Yeah. We could go a long way down the road, but I'm not going to.
So my wife will listen. I can't believe you told me that one.
Threw me under the bus. threw me under the rust bus.
The rust bus.
But yeah, you know, it's easy to make excuses, but you know, I just think when we're making excuses, we're not really growing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not really becoming any better because we're just kind of living in that land of. I don't want to exert any effort that I need to become a better man. So as long as I've got a good excuse, I can just kind of coast. And, you know, neurologically speaking, I'm not a brain expert, but I have read a lot about the brain, and our brain is always seeking comfort. It wants to be comfortable. So your brain is always going to be fighting you to do those things that keep you on the couch, keep you at a status quo kind of a life.
Yep.
And it's going to fight against you anytime you're trying to improve your life. And that's when we have to start being aware of our excuses, right? And anytime we're growing or trying to become better men, I think we're going to start finding excuses for things. But I've got some other stories here, some other quotes. Let's see here. I liked this one by Thomas Jefferson. He said, "Honesty is the first chapter in the book of wisdom." What do you guys think about that?
That is I absolutely agree with that. That, you know, that's because wisdom, I think, comes with lessons, right? Lessons learned are a big piece of wisdom. So I think when we're able to be honest and sometimes even accept the consequences of a mistake or you know, because if I think as we make excuses for something or outright lie about something, then it becomes easy. Well, I got away with that, and we don't learn from it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think wisdom is really a lot of wisdom comes from learning from mistakes made, right? Mm-hmm. I made that mistake. I never want to do that again. Maybe it's hurting somebody. Maybe it's something you did that actually hurt somebody, and realizing, man, I never want to go there again. I never want to create that situation again where I hurt that person.
Right.
And so now, and I've accepted the full consequence for that pain. Mm-hmm. And so now I don't ever want to go there again. So there's a good fix.
Yeah, we've got four kids, and from time to time, something will happen in the house, and no one wants to fess up to it. and we've done the thing, you know, where we'll say, all right, so, we just need the person to own up to what happened. We'll interview the kids individually, and take them private, and try to get some, and nobody fesses up to it. And like I can't remember what it was, but this happened not that long ago, probably 3 or 4 months ago. And like we go through all the kids and nobody says anything. We go through all the kids again. And like, I guess we're just going to leave it but then I'm like, okay, well, so, and then I threatened. So if the person that did this doesn't step up, then everybody's going to get punished for it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And still didn't change anything. You're like, I don't know what happened here. Like, but because we've always had, we've always had a rule, honesty, telling the truth is like one of our top rules in the house, probably the top three rules in our house. And if somebody, we always tell our kids, if you did something wrong, it's always better to tell us what you did wrong And you, yeah, you might get punished for that thing. But if you lie about it, and then we find out that you lied about it and that you did this wrong thing, you're going to get a lot more punishment for lying about it than you would if you just told us that you had done this wrong thing. Like, we're going to be a lot easier on you if you just confess to what you did than if you lie about it and then confess it. And but yeah, there's just this kind of innate thing where when we're under the microscope, when the investigator's flashlight is in our eyes, we don't want to tell the truth.
I have a story that literally I lived with for quite some time, right? Years, right? Probably 15, 20 years. I was 16, just got my license and hadn't had my license too long. And my dad had this old Chevy pickup, you know, canopy on it so you couldn't see, just some mirrors on it. And I backed out, and across the street was an older truck, and I backed into that truck, right? And so I pulled forward back into the driveway and went in, told my dad, oh my gosh, I hit this guy's truck and I felt sick, you know, that whole scary feeling of hitting something and whatever, you know. And my dad said, just, I'll handle it, right? So I okay, you know. So the neighbor came over and said, hey, do you know what happened? My truck got hit. Do you know? He didn't see it, right? And my dad lied. He goes, no, I don't know what happened, right? And I knew the truth,
right?
But I just let the lie go on, right? Mm-hmm. And I literally, you know, those people lived across the street from me for years, right? And every time I'd go to my parents' house, I'd see them or see whatever, and it just stinted my relationship with them. I didn't feel like talking about it to them. I didn't whatever. And probably, like, literally, I want to say, 15 years later, I was telling Becky about it and said, why don't we just get it fixed, right? Why don't we just go tell them? So I told them, and they didn't even remember the truck, right? What? Did we own that truck? Yeah, you own the truck, and I pay for it. No, you know, but it was something that, you know, I just lived with for this long, long time where, you know, I didn't do the lying, but still I knew that was a lie, and I didn't go fix it, right? And so it was just the that sense of just sometimes I think a lie can... It's so much cleaner to just get it out and be done with it and then suffer whatever potential consequences you got to suffer, but be done with it rather than have that, you know. Some of them are smaller and you probably just never think about it again, but some of the bigger ones, like I felt like that, you can literally live with for, you know, a long, long time, you know, and it just, every situation you just, and then I think it creates, like I said, with that situation, I didn't see their people that long, that much, but, you know, like marital issues, you know, there could be an affair or something really serious, right? Where some, you live with that, and I'm not, you know, that's a hard one, but I mean, what do you do there, right? Where you kind of, you know, there's honesty going on, and that stints the relationship in terms of, like, you know, how do you deal with that? Mm-hmm. You know, you're living with this lie for quite some time, you know, or, you know, and how do you, you know, and, you know, I think it just kind of wrecks and ruins a lot of relationships.
Yeah. One of the stories I came across, I didn't write it down, but I'm going to tell it because you just said that, was a guy went into like a Kentucky Fried Chicken to order something, and he had a woman with him, and they go in and they order it, and then when they get their order, they get, you know, the box, you know, the little Kentucky Fried Chicken box that your food comes in, they get one of those, and they go back out to their car, but they open it up and it's full of money. And so, you know, they drive away, they're on their way home, and then it's just full, you know, they open it up, it's full of cash, and they decide, well, okay, you know, let's take this back, because it was obviously the guy's deposit or something that he was going to take to the bank from the previous week or something. And, you know, basically, you know, this guy's livelihood. So they take it back and give back the cash. And the owner says, oh, you know, thank you so much. You know, stick around here. You know, I want to call the press. I want to call the police and just say, you know, like the last honest man, you know, in the city. And he says, no, don't do that, because that woman isn't my wife. honesty does go deep, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It affects, you know, like I said, we make mistakes, and then it's easy just to bury it and try to hopefully that, you know, but I think, you know, man, it could, like I said, the bigger mistake, the harder it is to own up to it, and the longer it goes, the more difficult it is, right? So it's, if you can keep those short accounts, it sure makes life a lot easier. Yeah. But if you haven't, man, I just, you know, and it can wreck a lot of things even by bringing that stuff up. So I'm not, you know, I don't know. It's a tough one, but you know, it's huge.
Right. Yeah. Another quote here, I think that's important, to bring up another important aspect of honesty, is that tell a lie once and all your truths become questionable.
Yeah, so true.
And, you know, we can all probably think of people where, you know, we've found out they were lying about something, and then all of a sudden you start running everything, all your conversations, all your interactions with that person through the grid of that one lie. It's like, I don't know if I can trust you right
now. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, your integrity is everything, and it's so easy to lose and so difficult to gain back.
Right. Yeah, so how do we, so let's say, you know, let's say that maybe someone listening or you know, someone that we know has always wrestled with being honest. What would be some practical steps we could take towards just becoming a more honest man?
I think, you know, is a decision, right? Daily decision, probably, you know, that for me, and like I said, don't got this all dialed in, but just that a daily decision that I will live by, you know, I will have integrity, you know, something that, you know, says, you know, either an affirmation, we've talked about affirmations or something, or, you know, an affirmation to yourself or something that says, I'm an integrous person, or I live with integrity, you know, something that you say about yourself, and then it becomes something that says, okay, if that's the case, then this is the way that I need to live, right? Mm-hmm. I need to be, my word needs to be my word. If, you know, if I sold a car and car sales are a notorious one,
right,
aren't they? You
right.
know, where, you know, you might know of, you know, something a little bit wrong, you know, and, you know, but, oh, well, you know, I'll tell them all the right stuff, but I won't tell them the gas tank's plastic,
right.
the jug in the back, you know, stuff that, you know, where you just, you know, I mean, just being upfront and honest with stuff, you know, so it could be anywhere from something small, like, you know, we're just yesterday, what was tax day, you know, are you, you know,
today's tax day.
Oh, is it today?
Yeah.
Where you're, you know, making sure that all the things are on your tax return are correct, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Or, you know, you didn't put anything down that wasn't supposed to be down, or, you know, or, you know, stuff, you know, relationships, you know, I don't, you know, whatever you do at work or the things where you just say, I'm going to live, you know, and maybe you haven't been in the past, you know. And the biggest thing I think for me, which is harder, but I mean, when I realize that I've said something, which I do, right? Which when I realize I've said something that's less than the truth, is go back and fix it.
Right.
You know, go back and wait a second. You know, I need to own up to that. Even though you sound stupid, most of the time you just don't want to sound stupid, right? But I sound stupid here, but I want to own up to this. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the complete truth. Here's the complete truth, you know?
Well, that's the thing I was going to say. You know, I think for some guys, you just get into the habit of lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to present yourself as a certain way. You don't want to look weak or you don't want to look whatever. And so you tell lies when you're in situations with other guys or, you know, that make you look a certain way. You present yourself in a certain way. And whether they're true or not, you don't care. You know, you just gotten into a habit of saying things so that you sound the way you want to sound. And so I think there are probably a lot of guys that have just gotten into this habit, and they're not necessarily lying intentionally to try to intentionally deceive someone. It's just become a habit. And so, like, I think for somebody that might be the case, just do what you just said, you know, just, okay, I lied. That was wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell the person I was lying. I need your forgiveness or whatever it is and make it right. I think if you do that once, you'll probably be on your way to being a more honest man.
Mm-hmm. Try it for a month.
Yeah.
Try being honest about everything for a month.
Right.
Maybe not overly honest where you're like, yeah, hon, you do look fat in those pants.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't ask.
Yeah,
I'm being extra honest.
Right. No, but that brings up a good point that we haven't covered is that guys aren't naturally super honest about you know, how they feel or about things like that. You know, that if there's something that, you know, especially an emotional aspect of our lives, you know, we're just, well, how does that make you feel? Fine, I don't care.
Or how are you doing today? Doing good.
Yeah.
And I can speak for example for that one. I'm not a huge sharer of my emotions or anything like that. So like that's usually my go-to answer is like, yeah, it's all good. I'm doing good.
Right.
I'm fine. And usually I am, right? I'm not like, I don't just dwell on things. I'm a pretty positive person. But still there is those times where you're like, yeah, I'm fine. We're like, I'm not fine. But that's not really something I want to share right now either.
Yeah. And that might be, you know, that might be a lie where you're not lying because you want to present yourself.
Yeah.
You might just be lying because you don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you just don't want to go there
right
now. And I get that. But at the same time, I think what we do when we do that is we kind of build a wall between a potential deeper relationship, right? I mean, like we cut the roots off of a deeper relationship, and maybe having that conversation is gonna allow you to go to a level but with that person that you never would have gone before. But we don't want to go there. We don't want to be that raw and open. So we kind of end up, you know, severing the roots there and hampering our own growth. But well, there's another story here I think we have to share.
Yeah, the football one there?
Yeah.
That's a great one.
There was a young Christian man in a Southern university. He made the football team as the starting split end, and he continually was before God saying, "Help me in the climax of moments to be absolutely honest. I pray for honesty, that one mark of integrity. I want to be that, and Lord, and I'll work through it. I'll work on it through the season." The rival team came that night, homecoming. He ran his route and went into the end zone. The quarterback shot him the pass, and he got it low. He landed on it, and the referee shouted, "Touchdown!" But that boy knew that he had trapped the ball. If you don't know what that means, it means he trapped it on the ground. He didn't actually catch it. The stands were cheering, you know, sending him on his way, the hero of the game. He said, "Wait a minute. Can you imagine this?" He walked up to the referee and shook his head. He said, "I trapped it." The referee canceled the touchdown, and they lost the game. Now, you may not understand much about football, but you know what it is to be a fan. And that boy stood all alone, not only against a team that said, "What does it matter, man?" but against the stands full of people, he said, "I can't take the credit. I didn't catch it." That would never happen.
Nope.
I mean, you know, that kid would be dead.
So it's like, that kid, this has to be a fictional story. There's no way that somebody actually did that, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, you just can't imagine. I mean, you talk about it, you know, and we've all seen it, especially, you know, the NFL with the replays and stuff. You see a catch that wasn't a catch,
and they'll just get them immediately and be like,
"Yeah,
trying to sell it, hoping that the referees don't look too far into it or don't." Yeah.
It's all kind of part of the game, you know.
Yeah, and then sometimes
get away with it.
Sometimes they do get away with it, but they don't go up and say, "No, it wasn't a catch." You know, that's not right. But, you know,
integrity in sports.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Should we really go there?
There used to be, I think. I think there used to be some integrity there, but probably not anymore.
Yeah, no, that's huge. I mean, I think that's, you know, I mean, you said integrity in all things. When we ask God, you know, sometimes he's going to put us to a test. But I think, you know, having lived, you know, more of my life than probably I have left, right? Obviously, and probably over halfway, definitely
going to 120.
Yeah, I think you might be one of those guys.
You're only halfway there.
Yeah, we'll see, but probably not. I might not want to live that long. It's crazy. But I mean, you know, having seen a lot of that, where you know, like I said, and don't get me wrong, I've made my mistakes and lied and not whatever, but you know, last, I don't know, 20 years, I've tried to be a man that lives, you know, that tries to be honest, you know, and for the most part at work, I think I'm known to be someone that does, you know, that will tell the truth. It will say, "Hey, I made that mistake," you know? Mm-hmm. And so they'll come and say, "Okay, well, there's no question. Okay. That didn't happen because Russ said he didn't do that." Right. Because I've told him when I have screwed it up. Right. And so, you know, in terms of times when we've been down for 2 days and wrecked a whole thing because I hit a wrong button and, you know, sent something into something. But so having chosen wrong before and having chosen right later, there's just so much peace to sleeping at night, right?
Freedom.
To just freedom. You know, and I think God has, you know, bring God into this for a minute. I think God has like rewarded that in terms of not, you know, in terms of, you know, giving me a reasonable name out there. But there's also just a sense of freedom of peace at night. I don't go to bed with something haunting me on behind me. Like, is someone going to find out that lie? Is someone going to sense that, oh crap, you know, I got to lie to this to keep up with that. And I got to lie to this to keep up with that. And there isn't that, right? I can, you know, I can honestly tell my wife everything that I've done. I can honestly tell my kids my goods, my bads, and my uglies, you know, and there isn't anything they're going to see that I'm not doing, right?
Right.
And not to say I don't make mistakes, but that's just, I can go to bed at night with that peace, right?
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot to that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, and yeah, you brought up faith. I think it's important. You know, we're people of faith, and so that plays a huge role in why honesty is a big deal for us. And, you know, as a pastor, you know, honesty is a big deal to me. And partly because, you know, it plays hand in hand with truth, right? You know, if you're honest, you tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And truth, it won't take us long. We're going to get there soon. We're, yeah, we're going to talk about truth. We're going to have a podcast on truth, and not too long. But, you know, it's really important. But at the same time, if you're not a person of faith, these are still global principles.
Yeah, virtues, right? that are.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like, honesty is still, it's a global principle, you know, from nation to nation, country to country. And we would say it's hardwired into your conscience that way. So you will, even if you're not a person of faith, if you work at being a more honest person, you will experience,
yep,
some peace and freedom, mm-hmm, that comes from being a more honest person. Now we would say, well, that's a gift of God or common grace or whatever you want to say it. But if you don't believe in God, if you just couldn't care less about God, still try to be honest and see if you don't experience, yep, a little bit more peace at night by just being honest. Because like Russ said, you're not going to be laying there with these chains all over you of all the lies that you've told now that you're like...
Of the guilt. And
Yeah. I love the way you put, like, sneaking up on you from behind, like these lies.
Yeah.
Sneaking up from behind.
Right. Like, wake up in cold sweat because you go, oh my gosh, you know, that thought of someone catching you in something,
right,
you said, or
right,
something you did, or, you know...
Well, to close off, I've got this poem here. We don't know who wrote it. I think it's anonymous. I'm not entirely sure. I tried to look it up, but we're not sure who wrote it. So, were the whole world good as you, not an atom better, were it just as pure and true as you, just as strong in faith and works, just as free from crafty quirks, all extortion, all deceit, schemes its neighbors to defraud, schemes some culprit to applaud, would the world be better? If the world followed you, followed to the letter, would it be a nobler world, all deceit and falsehood hurled from it altogether? Malice, selfishness, and lust banished from beneath the crust, covering human hearts from view, tell me, if it followed you, would the world be better?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
It's a great poetic way to just to kind of cap off this virtue and any virtue. But if the whole world were as honest as you, would it be better or would it be worse off?
Yeah.
If the people that follow us in our lives, our children, our wives, the people we work with, if they look to us as an example and they followed our example, would the world be better or would it be worse?
Yeah. Your name.
Yeah.
Yeah. How will you end with your name?
There we go. All right, so we're going to wrap up this episode and probably make this a recurring closing segment to our podcast, our closing ceremonies. We did this during the pandemic as a little fun thing, just a way to laugh and tell a few jokes, because I picture myself as an aspiring comic. And someday I hope to make people laugh for real.
Could have done that when your two truths and a lie.
Yeah. But you guys got anything you want to recognize this week, either in seriousness or in jest, something that you want to give a little shout out to?
Nothing coming to me right now. I'll let you just finish it off, unless Ryland's got something.
I don't know if I do this week. I usually do, but
nothing.
Well, wow, we don't have anything. We don't have any closing ceremonies.
You got a joke?
I don't have any jokes. Let's see here. We've got the Olympics are coming.
Are they?
Yeah.
Tokyo?
Yeah, July 23rd. The 2020 Olympics are going to be in 2021.
Yeah.
So I guess that's our closing ceremonies. Look out for the
Olympics
this coming summer.
For the Olympic music. So it's fitting.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. So we're going to wrap it up. That is episode 6 of the Man They Remember podcast. We're trying to be the kind of man that will remember when we're gone. Thanks for listening in. We really appreciate it if you share this with your friends. I'm going to do something. I haven't quite thought this through, but so you can send an email to david@mantheyremember.com. All right, so david@mantheyremember.com is an email. If you send an email there, you'll actually get me. And so what I'm looking for is I'm going to send. Ryland and I were talking about this. We're talking about ideas last week, mm-hmm, about how to get guys to spread the word. So to the first guys, I'm not going to do this like for a lot because I'm not rich, but I'll definitely do it for the first guy that listened to this episode, shared this episode with a friend, and then that friend listened to the episode. So wow. prove it by taking a picture, I guess, taking a screenshot of or like a selfie of yourself listening to it. We won't post it on social media unless you're okay with that, and I'll ask permission for that first, but it's just proof. It's just evidence. Yep. So send me the picture of you listening to it and your friend listening to it, and I will mail you each a $5 Starbucks gift card.
Wow.
All right. So whoever the first guy to do that is, and the friend that does it,
gets you a free Starbucks.
Yeah. You're not gonna, for right now. You're not going to get a gift card if you just share it with somebody and they don't listen. We need the proof that someone else listened to it.
I shared it with people, but I have no idea if they've listened or not.
Yeah. So share it. Take a picture of yourself listening to it, and then get the picture of your friend listening to it. Send it to David@mantheyremember.com, and I'll get your address, and I'll send you guys some Starbucks gift cards wherever you are. I don't care. So. So manlyremember.com/podcast, Facebook.
But be honest, right?
Yes, be honest. Yes, that's the reason for the picture.
You're real awkward, are you? Yeah.
Do we require a picture or just want the honesty?
We need the picture. I don't know you yet, so I can't trust you. But this would get us started on the right foot, right? This would be a good a good foundational honesty. But facebook.com/manlyremember, we're trying to build a group. So if you join the group, And leave a comment in the group. We'll read it on the podcast. So if you go in there and join it, we'll give you a shout out in the group. If you comment on one of the posts on our Facebook page, facebook.com/manlyremember, we'll also read that. And on the podcast, if you leave a review on iTunes, a written review telling guys how much you like the podcast, we'll read that on the podcast. So it's a way for you to kind of get your voice added into the conversation.
If you didn't like it, then we read that too.
I guess. I mean, we'll be honest, right?
We got honest. A dislike this week, and here's
we got several one stars.
Yeah, I don't. Do you reward that with a read? I don't know, but we want to be honest, so I guess we do that. So, any closing thoughts as we wrap it up?
No, this is a lot of fun, though.
All right,
thanks for whoever's listening. Yeah. I appreciate that, and thanks for kicking an hour out of your day to listen to that. Hopefully, like I said, we really want this to be helping. So it'd be good. Be good on the feedback to hear if you're getting some good thoughts that you could pass on. That would that's where you want this pass on. We're just not to hear our voice, obviously, but just that people are getting something out of this. Honesty is a huge topic, and it's one that we're going to start the world. If the world's going to change, it's going to change by each individual and spreading out, right? So we're going to change one person at a time. Right. So
join us next week as we go over more values.
Yeah. Well, that's we'll end there with the problem we're trying to solve is that there is a lack of virtue in men today.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. There's generation after generation of fatherlessness in all races. So there's that issue. The men haven't had a good role model to look up to. There's the media beating men down and not allowing men to kind of thrive and shine as they're meant to be. And so there's a lot of reasons for it. But the only way we change it, as Russ said, is one man at a time. We're trying to encourage men, just as you listen to this, as you've got us in your ears right now, in your earbuds, trying to encourage you and help you become a better man. And if we can help one man become a better man, then there's a good chance that man will help another man become a better man, and we're winning in our goal here. So thanks so much for listening. Until next time, have a great week.
Yeah,
have a good week.
Take care.
Help us create a better league of men by sharing this podcast with your friends. By ourselves, we can't do that much, but together, we could change the course of history. ManTheyRemember.com and Facebook.com/ManTheyRemember.